Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced another 69 Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday. The new cases confirmed as of Sunday night were in 17 communities, including 36 in Anchorage, 3 in the Northwest Arctic Borough, 2 in Valdez, and 1 each in Fairbanks and the Yukon-Koyukuk census area. The Department of Health and Social Services said it was also investigating one new non-resident case. The DHSS reported no new deaths and a total of 38 people hospitalized for either confirmed or suspected cases of the virus. Free COVID-19 testing continues at the Carlson Center in Fairbanks, one of numerous opportunities to get tested for the virus across Alaska. As KUAC's Robin reports, the state is processing about 10,000 COVID-19 tests a week, but it's still not enough.
Public health officials would like to do what's called surveillance testing. That's when we test everyone in an area to figure out who of us is sick, then isolate those sick people until they're better. Several countries have managed to do this and have no more community spread, but the U.S. still does not have enough of the chemicals needed for the test kits. Clint Brooks of Fairbanks Memorial Hospital says that's true of Alaska, too.
The issue that we face is the reagent. It's being able to actually perform the test with the reagent in the lab is what's really holding back that rapid testing.
Even so, a person who gives a sample for testing in Fairbanks is likely to get their test results back in about 3 days. Fewer people are coming to Interior Alaska test centers in August than they did in July. But the test positivity rate, which doubled in July, has so far in August remained about the same. That's the ratio of positives to the samples taken, and it's about 2.3% since August 1st. Elizabeth Burton, regional public health nurse, says the number of people coming through the free drive-up testing every Tuesday and Thursday at the Carlson Center in Fairbanks had been dozens through July, but dropped at the beginning of August.
And I think by the time we opened that site June 30th, there were a lot of cases that were coming from some group events that had happened around here. And so there might have been heightened anxiety at that time. And since then, we've had probably 4 weeks of steady numbers.
Burton said 2 weeks ago, 69 people came through the tent one day, but last Thursday, that dropped to 10.
And I think that the message is out in Fairbanks about wearing a mask and distancing, and people are trying to do their best with that in most cases. Perhaps we're seeing the favorable result from people that are trying to comply.
Today, August 11th, there are about 20 people signed up to get a test there. Burton said Fred Meyer has agreed to keep the site open twice a week, at least through Labor Day. Public Health took rapid test machines to several sites around Fairbanks at the beginning of August. Partnering with Tanana Chiefs Conference, Interior Community Health Center, and Foundation Health Partners, they moved sites over 8 days to get more people tested.
We decided that this might be a good strategy is to do some pop-up testing around the city to reach populations that weren't able to get into healthcare.
Burton says the rapid test machines now need to be returned to the state's warehouse in Anchorage, but pop-up test centers like that might be used this fall and winter as drive-through sites become impractical. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration is scrambling to see how it can restore expanded unemployment benefits to about 60,000 people under a new program announced over the weekend by President Trump. Alaska Public Media reports that there's no time frame yet for the program, which will provide an extra $400 a week.
Under this plan, states will be able to offer greater benefits if they so choose, and the federal government will cover 75% of the cost. So we're all set up.
Trump's action followed the collapse of congressional negotiations over a new COVID-19 relief package, and it faces likely legal challenges. Experts say there's only enough money in the account that the president wants to use to run the new program for about 5 weeks. It's unclear how it would work in Alaska. Department of Labor Commissioner Kathy Munoz says ways to pay for the state portion have been presented to the governor. The state is seeking an injunction to halt a federal subsistence board action limiting moose and caribou hunting on federal lands accessed along the Richardson Highway. According to a release issued by Governor Dunleavy's office, the state filed two preliminary injunctions yesterday in U.S. District Court, One to stop the board's closure of the Federal Lands and Game Management Units 13A and B to non-federally qualified subsistence hunters, and the second to prevent any additional special hunts under what the state refers to as, quote, guise of public safety. The Federal Subsistence Board action last month reflected local hunter concerns about overcrowding in the areas located roughly between Delta Junction and Glen Allen, which has resulted in unsafe conditions and disrupted hunts. The Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act provides for a rural subsistence priority on federal lands, but also recognizes state wildlife management authority. Alaska's constitution requires equal access to fish and game, which conflicts with the rural priority in Anilka. Along with the two injunctions, the state also filed suit challenging the federal board actions. The Fairbanks City Council has approved a new gasoline tax. Meeting last night, the council passed an ordinance which will institute a 5-cent per gallon excise tax on gasoline brought into the city. The city is facing a revenue shortfall, and council member Valerie Therrien said the $500,000 the tax is expected to bring in annually will help address the deficit.
We need the revenue in our community to help support the services that the city provides, and I think that this is going to help generate income from people that come into the city that use our services.
The new revenue will help take the city up to its tax cap and potentially lower property taxes, but not erase a deficit, which is currently $900,000. Councilmember Jerry Cleworth sponsored a failed gas tax amendment to freeze city staffing.
I have a real trouble with selling new taxes to the general public when I do not believe that we have done all we can do to curtail costs at the city.
We are going into next year already in the hole.
Councilmember David Prues joined Cleworth in saying they couldn't support the new tax in light of pay raises in three recently approved city labor contracts and the application for a grant to hire more firefighters. The gas tax ultimately passed 4-2, with Prues and Cleworth casting the no votes. The tax will take effect October 1st. Mayor Jim Matherly asked the council to have faith that he and city staff will come up with new revenue and cost-trimming measures.
After seeing the way we've handled this COVID crisis and the way the city has come together, don't ever underestimate the power of this positive team that we have here.
Also at last night's meeting, the council passed an ordinance to charge fees for excessive police responses to businesses and residences. The members of the board that will set Alaska's legislative districts for the next decade have been finalized. Alaska Public Media reports that Melanie Banky was appointed last week to the fifth and final seat on the redistricting board by Alaska Supreme Court Justice Joel Bolger. Banky is the president and CEO of Nome-based regional nonprofit Coeric Incorporated. Senate President Kathy Geisel appointed John Binkley, a former legislator from Fairbanks whose family owns the Anchorage Daily News. House Speaker Bryce Edgman appointed Nicole Borromeo of Anchorage. She is the General Counsel and Executive Vice President of the Alaska Federation of Natives. And Governor Mike Dunleavy appointed Bethany Markham of Anchorage and E. Bud Simpson of Juneau. Markham was an aide to Dunleavy when he was a state senator. She is Executive Director of the Alaska Policy Forum, a conservative think tank. Simpson is a lawyer who has served as outside counsel to the Sea Alaska Corporation. The redistricting board rewrites boundaries based on federal census results, so its decision affects who controls each chamber for 10 years. The board will have 90 days to adopt a plan after it receives the census data, which is due March 31st, 2021. I'm Dan Bross.